Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. First and foremost, I apologize for the weird episodes, the release dates last week, as they didn't come out until, I don't even know, I need to check, but they didn't come out on time. So I apologize for that. That was my fault, but we're back. I am in the process of moving, which is a really, really stressful time. Crazy stories, all of that, that I'll share in a second, but it's just been a crazy period of time right now where we just completed two renovations on our primary home, a short-term rental, launched two short-term rentals, and are moving all within 30 days. So, and trying to close on a hotel. So it's been an adventure. And that hotel, man, that's going to get its own podcast. I swear to you, like that has been, it's been a struggle. I've been struggling with that one. Probably the most stressful real estate transaction I've ever done in my life. It's just been a part of. It is on another level because of the seller and some of the other things going on. So we'll talk about it in the future for sure. Because I think unveiling some of the realities of buying hotels and being in the commercial space, I don't hear anybody talking about some of the ugly stuff that, you know, we're having to deal with in the commercial space and some of the risk. I mean, it's a lot riskier getting that. But today, we're going to be talking about how the tariffs are going to impact the short-term rental market. Now, I'm only going to do this one episode, okay? This part, it's not going to be part one, part two. So there's only one episode this week, and this is the episode. Okay, I think this is really important because I'm going to look at it from a macroeconomic standpoint. Let me reiterate that again, macroeconomic. One of the big things that I preach on here is macroeconomics does not dictate microeconomics, meaning like our individual markets are different. And so the macroeconomics can have some sort of trickle-down effect, but it will impact different, it will impact markets differently because they have different characteristics about them. And that's exactly what I'm going to talk about. And so I'm going to make some general assumptions on this podcast, but that'll be positive and some will be negative. And I need, so understand that those general assumptions aren't swayed by politics, but they're just assumptions for the entire market that I'm predicting that will happen. I believe this will definitely happen, not predicting, you know, oh, I think this way, I think it's going to happen. But it's very macro and your market could be different. Okay. So let's talk. So we're going to talk about the tariffs and how it's going to impact the STR market and how you can prepare yourself today for any ups or downs. We're going to talk about Mr. Trump and some of the decisions he's been making and how is that going to impact us. And then finally, we are going to dive in tax implications that are going to be coming down the pipeline and what to prepare for. Really good episode, really good topics lined up today. Let's get started. All right. So the topic that everyone has been on right now are tariffs. Number one, I want to make this abundantly clear. Okay. So I'm not going to get political on this. Okay. I'm more of a libertarian than one side or the other. Okay. I'm kind of a laissez-faire guy, meaning like you can have your own thoughts. You can have your own opinions. So can the other guy. And that's fine with me. Just don't impact, like, please don't force your stuff on me and my family. That's how I feel about things. Okay. So I happen to study economics in college. So economics is one of my somewhat specialties, as you could say. All right. So the stuff I'm giving you is coming from, like, I'm going to say it how it is. All right. And it's not, I prefer one way or the other. I'm just going to say it how it is. And so if that offends you, then probably shouldn't listen to this episode. I like I said, I'm not going to. I'm trying to do it from a non-biased standpoint, but anyway, let's dive into it. Okay, so tariffs. First off, let's understand the tariffs in general. The tariffs basically are a taxation on goods that are brought in, exported from other countries into our country. So when we're importing goods, we're taxing their goods at a certain percentage. Why did Donald Trump want to do tariffs? So there's a couple of reasons, and I think this is really important. We, once again, understanding the macroeconomic side. Number one, we have a massive debt that we owe as a country, trillions of dollars. That's so much money. Okay. The problem is people don't understand that you can't kick the can down the road forever. Right. And that's exactly what we've been doing since like what, 2000, 2001 is kick this debt can. We owe $32 trillion now in debt, kick it down the road. Okay. Somebody has to pay the bill. It's not just like, oh, you default and it's all gone. That's not how it works. Okay. The problem is that politicians have been kicking the can down the road, which puts a bigger consequence on future generations. So basically our children are going to be, we're screwing our children, right? Like, not to be too crude about that, but like, yeah, we're like hurting them because when it comes time to pay the bill, there's going to be some pain. There has to be some cutbacks, right? It's like, look, if you have a budget, you know, you make $100 and you have a budget and you spend $200, meaning like you put $100 on your credit card. At some point in time, you're going to have to pay that $100. And guess what? There's going to be interest, and that's going to be high interest, right? It's a credit card. And that's going to suck. You're going to have to cut back. Maybe you have to eat Top Ramen instead of door dashing, you know, like there's going to be a little bit of pain there. Okay. But the bigger the debt, the more pain there's going to be. So the problem is there haven't been any politicians who have decided to, hey, I'm going to take care of this problem today, because it's extremely unpopular because it causes pain. Everybody wants politicians to create, you know, positivity, jobs, increases in the stock market, you know, like gain, like, and they correlate some of these politicians to some of these things too, which it's not necessarily 100% the case. You know, there's a lot of factors that impact, you know, the stock market and the economy and the job sector and the housing market and all these other pieces. But the reality is we don't like pain. No one who likes pain. Seriously, like, think about that. However, you have to pay the piper, right? You got to pay the creditor. And so I believe Donald Trump, now, okay, keep in mind, you know, he might have personal interests and he might have, you know, other intentions, but he is trying to eliminate the debt. That's why we've seen the Dodge or Doge, whatever, DOGE, with Elon Musk and these guys, you know, coming in and trying to pay, you know, like cut jobs and things like that to eliminate debt so we can, you know, get back to break it even. You know, we're overspending. And something, you know, budgetary wise, like looking at logically, something has to get cut. And the things that get cut are going to be upset about it. And that's exactly what's going on. Okay. So you have so this is all going to tie in together. So bear with me as we're going through this. So there's a lot of like government sector jobs and government things, research and things like that being cut. Like, I'm not here to debate whether that's right or wrong or whatever. All I'm saying is, something has to get cut, and a lot of those things were decided to be cut. Okay, so that's what's going on. All right, so there's really, really negative sentiment on that end. Now we're implementing tariffs. So the point of the tariffs, there's going to be two points here that I'm kind of foreseeing the reasoning why. Number one, to get more tax dollars, right? So countries, basically, they import a lot, like we import a lot of goods and services into our country. And a lot of other countries' economies rely on us buying those goods and services because, let's be honest, the American economy is more service-based now than industry-based because it's very expensive to have industry in the United States, okay? So, which we can talk about the pros and cons of tariffs later, but regardless of that, this is what's going on. So, we're taxing other people and making money from them shipping goods to us, okay? Now, like I said, there's pros and cons to that. Let's talk about the cons first, okay? So the cons of doing this is it typically in the short run, this is really important because this is how it works in economics. In the short run, tariffs make prices of goods, not necessarily services, but goods
and sometimes services, we'll say that, but it's a consequence of the goods going up. But the goods go up, right? Goods and services will go up in price. So things get more expensive, okay? That's the thought process. So you add taxes, things get more expensive. Anytime the government puts their hand in something, whether it's adding taxes, whether it's supplementing things. So for example, the healthcare industry, the government, you know, has healthcare, Medicaid, all these other things. The education industry, you know, like department stuff, we have, they do student loans, not student loans. They do, you know, they have grants and things like the government has the student aid is what they call it. Anytime the government gets involved in those types of industries, any industry, guess what prices do? They go up. Okay. Now for taxes, they go up because they want to pass on the bill to the consumer. Same thing with universities and healthcare, pharmacies, and so on. They take the government, the government's supplementing that. Well, that means we can raise our prices. That's what businesses do. Okay. Whether that's right or wrong, I'm going to leave that for you to judge. Okay. Like I said, catch me in a, you know, a bar or diner, cafe shop. Like, we can talk about this all day long and I can tell you whether it's right or wrong in my opinion on that side. Cause there's not really a right or wrong answer. I think there's a couple options and you just take one, but we're in the middle and I don't really love that. But so the government is, when it gets involved, prices are going up. So we just talked about goods and services going up. So what does that mean for the average consumer today? Things are just going to get a little more expensive. How expensive? That's left to be told. Some things will be more expensive and some things will be less expensive. Okay. We see that crude oil prices have dropped, meaning gas prices are dropped. Now people are like, oh, well, I haven't seen gas prices drop. Okay. Well, it's not an overnight thing. Same thing with the egg prices. Like, egg prices have gone back down again. And when the heck did we use egg prices as a metric of economic well-being? Like, never. It's just people are complaining about something. And then also too, what happens when anytime something big and, you know, really scary is announced of uncertainty of what's going to happen, like tariffs, the stock market drops, right? Okay. But remember, the stock market is not correlated, or is not necessarily correlated to the economic well-being and the GDP production of the country. Okay. Stocks go up and down all the time. Too many people were complaining about how high the stock prices are, and then now all of a sudden they're lower. No one, like, people are complaining that they're too low. It's like, take advantage of these opportunities to buy when prices are low and sell when prices are high. It is an opportunity to buy now. Are we headed for a crash? No. I think that's absolutely ridiculous and fear-mongering. I see that a lot, but it is creating a lot of uncertainty. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people in this country who dislike our president enough to hope that there's unfortunate circumstances that happen to our country to try to prove a point. I also think that's very ignorant, you know, and just neglectful. I mean, these things are going to impact people. And it's terrible to, like, you know, kind of fear monger on the internet and scare people away from, you know, making important decisions in their life and taking advantage of these opportunities to buy when things are a little bit cheaper. You know, things that are cheap, there will be things that are cheaper. Gas prices are going to go down. Okay. And because we're going to be drilling domestically. Okay. That's going to happen. All right. We're also going to see other types of products and services go down in price. But we're going to see, on the flip side, we're going to see a lot go up. So the average consumer, it could equal out depending on the person, but it might be more expensive. And it probably would be more expensive for most people. Okay, in the short run. How long is the short run? I honestly don't know. But we're going to see that impact in 2025. Okay, so how does this impact the short-term rental industry and how do you prepare? So if prices of goods and services have gone up, what gets impacted first? The most expensive things. What's most expensive? Traveling, it's far distances. Okay, so a lot of your markets that are fly-in destinations are going to be impacted the most because they're typically more expensive. Meaning, you know, that girl that's going to get married and she's like super excited and she's going to have her bachelorette party in Scottsdale, Arizona with all the girls. Maybe she just stays local, okay, and does something local, goes out on the town, right? Same thing with some of these other cities like Nashville, Miami, some of these other places. But the good news is it's not, that doesn't just impact domestic vacation rentals, fly-in destinations, that it's really going to impact international travel as well. People will cut that first because it's more expensive to travel internationally. And they're always going to vacation. People always vacation, and they still vacation during recessions. Remember that. You're actually in a really good recession-type proof industry of short-term rentals. Short-term rentals will always be running. It's not black and white. It's not, oh, no one came anymore. It's they, people will always vacation. Now, what they're willing to pay and your occupancy rates will vary. And we're going to talk about that in a second, but that's going to vary based on markets. So the markets that are cheaper to get to, i.e. your drive-in destinations, are very, very solid right now, meaning that it's more affordable to go there. And there's going to be more people, more demand going towards drive-in destinations than fly-in destinations. Okay. So let's talk about that. Drive-in destinations. What does that mean? That means destinations that are within 3 to 4 hour drive. This is Kenny's definition. Keep that in mind. 3 to 4 hour drive of a major city. Okay. So if you're within driving distance of a major city, you're in a drive-in destination. And we've seen time and time again, especially during COVID and that drive-in destinations are very, very strong. Okay. Because they're cheaper. They're cheaper to get to. They're also cheaper to stay at typically. You get more bang for your buck. So the drive-in destinations are going to be more popular. All right. Because, and, you know, I even think of markets like, you know, I pick on Blue Ridge, Georgia all the time. This is a market that will benefit from, in my opinion, it's going to benefit from the tariffs, because people from Atlanta, that's its only traffic drive, like feeder, or because it's the only big city near it that people come to Blue Ridge from. People from Atlanta are going to start going more to Blue Ridge because it's cheaper to get there than it is to fly to Colorado to go to the, you know, to go to the Rockies, or fly to Mexico, or you know, like Europe or whatever, the Swiss Alps. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I should pick mountain markets, but the reality is it's going to be cheaper to go to these types of markets, and those markets will benefit from it. So if you're in those markets, you're actually set up for a lot of success. Now, when things get more expensive, people get more sensitive on price, okay? So there's kind of a counter to this as well. I'm not saying it's, oh yeah, everyone, the bookings are going to go up. Celebrate, everybody. It's not necessarily the case, because in certain markets, we're going to see average daily rates fall as a consequence of booking lead times also falling. So meaning that, number one, when people are saving money, what do? They save money and they don't book out a year in advance, 2 years in advance for their vacations. They might book out 6 months in advance, or 4 months in advance, or a month in advance. Okay. And we've seen that over time in the last few years anyway, of shrinking booking lead times. Okay. There's less money in the economy overall for people to spend, because they have to spend it on goods and basic goods and services they need to survive daily. So vacation booking lead times will fall, which means that ADRs, especially for larger properties, will fall. Now, if you're in a drive-in destination and you have a smaller property, like a 1 to 3 bedroom, you're actually sitting pretty, I would say, like, you're not, there's very low impact you're going to feel from any of this. Okay. Because naturally your booking lead times are generally shorter than larger properties. Okay. You're also targeting smaller groups and couples, and there's, you know, like they're traveling. They're not planning these get-togethers like way, way, way out in advance, or, you know, like these vacation, not get-togethers, but vacations way in advance. And so your booking lead time is much shorter, and your ADR, like, it's going to be natural and normal and will be very, like, less likely to be impacted. But the larger properties, you know, instead of getting booked at, you know, $2,000 a night, maybe it's $1,500 a night. Okay. However, I do believe occupancy on the flip side will go up, meaning that more people are going to book because there's less people traveling out of the country, less people flying because it's too expensive. So you're actually going to have a bigger demand, a bigger population to pull from of people who are willing to book, but they're maybe just not going to book as far out. So occupancy will increase, whereas ADR will decrease. So it could cancel out, right? Because revenue is made up of occupancy and ADR. If occupancy goes up, you make money. And if ADR stays flat, there you go, you made money. But if one goes down and the other one goes up, it just depends on the up and the down, whether you make or lose. So some markets will be more impacted than others, all right? But this will be determined based on current supply. That's why I really, really recommend right now, it's so important to try to stay out of really hot, popular markets, okay? And the reason why, now, if you have a property there, I get this a lot. People like panic when I say stuff like this. If you have a property there, it's not the end of the world. It's not, oh, it's too late, you messed up, all this good stuff. You have a property in a popular vacation rental market now, that's fine. I hope it's in a great location. I hope you have a moat. I hope you're doing well. I don't think that's going to change, but you are more likely to be impacted than some of these other folks who are more in some tertiary markets or less competitive markets where the supply isn't just creeping up as well. So when there's some sensitivity in demand, I think demand will continue to increase, maybe not as much in certain markets, but it'll just continue to increase. However, we still have to watch supply. If supply is increasing a lot faster than demand, what does that tell us? Saturation, right? That's the economic indicator for saturation in a vacation rental market. So you're going to see fly-in destination markets get more saturated, drive-in destination markets become less saturated, right? Unless those drive-in destination markets people are just scooping up homes or they're being built, okay? And that's really one thing I've been really wary of and preaching against. Do not buy in markets where they're building hundreds of new short-term rentals. Don't do it, okay? I'm not saying, oh, don't buy in markets where people where they build new short-term rentals, all right? I know some people listening here are like, well, I bought one. You know, it's like, it's okay. That's fine. I'm saying hundreds of new ones. I'm talking about those subdivisions where they're all the same, they all look the same and all that good stuff. Now, more than ever, is the time to buy unique, the great location, the having the moat, okay? Having a tier two property in a particular market, those properties will also get hit harder than the tier one properties, all right? So this trickles down. The impacts of the tariffs and taxes and decisions by Donald Trump are going to trickle down, but impact people differently. And I think that's really important. And so I'm hoping you're getting that from this episode of whatever, you know, this, whatever I'm saying here, because I just don't like it. When I hear people, like, oh, it's the end of the world, I'm really nervous about all this. It's like, calm down. Your situation is different than my situation. My properties will be impacted differently than your properties. If you bought one of those cookie cutter houses in one of those markets, the things I've been talking about for a while, you will be impacted more than me. Yes, you should have a cause for concern. But if you did not, you bought something genuinely unique, good location, you have something, a moat set you apart, you shouldn't be worried. You really shouldn't be worried, because you will stand out and you will survive this. Like, it will be fine. And I don't even mean like you'll survive this, like you'll break even, you know? It's like, no, you're still going to make money and you're still going to do good. Our property is still doing really, really well. The Kentucky property that we launched, in 2 days of launching it, we got $45,000 in bookings in 2 days of launching. We just recently launched it, okay? So that property is a mega property, all right? It's nine property. It's not even a super high. It's a mega property, okay? Not a super property, mega property. Nine bedrooms, 10,000 square feet, all these like amenities, everything. Which you would think like, well, in this economy, why would you do that? Because it has the moat. Let me give you a really simple example to help illustrate this, why I'm not as concerned. Let's say you have a market where 1 year, 100,000 people travel to, okay? And let's say supply is stagnant year over year, which we know that that's not the case. Supply goes up even, you know, depending on the market. But let's, for all intents and purposes, supply is stagnant. But demand is at 100,000 people are traveling to this market and staying at vacation rentals each year, okay? Next year, demand is only $50,000 and the supply is exactly the same. Or sorry, not $50,000, 50,000 people. So that is literally a 50% cut in the travel, the number of people traveling to a particular market, okay? So what happens? Well, first off, people looking at the macro market are going to freak out, right? That's what we're kind of talking about at the beginning here, macro versus micro. The macro market says, well, there's a huge cut. Everyone panic, 50% less people run, you know, like it's over, the market's over, the trend's over. It was just a fad. But here's the thing. Who gets impacted the most? Is it the top performing properties in the market? Maybe a little bit. Maybe they can't charge as much, but they're maybe taking a 10% cut. They're not. The cut isn't exactly the same for every single property in that market. And what you'll notice if you like put this out on a chart or a graph is you will see that the top performing properties maybe dip 5%, maybe 10% of the most, whereas the bottom, as you go along in terms of performance and quality of the property, uniqueness of the property, the design, the decor, and all these other amenities, the further down you go in terms of all of those elements together and performance, we'll say revenue performance, like the bottom feeders, they will be impacted significantly more, 50% less, 75% less. Okay. And as you move along that curve, the more impact each of those properties will have. And so it's really, really important to understand that if you're not in the top 10% in terms of the quality of your property and all the other factors that we talk about, location, quality, design and decor, amenities, you're going to feel it, right? Because here's the argument that I have on this factor. 50,000 people are still coming to that market. Okay. They're going to pick the top properties first. So if you have a top property in a market and quality and all these other factors, you're still going to get booked. You might not get booked at the rates you were hoping on. That's what the ADR was talking about earlier, but you're still going to be booked. And that's occupancy. So you have two friends. You have ADR and you have occupancy that you rely on. If you tweak either of those up or down, that impacts revenue. So in this case, you're still going to be booked. Those 50,000 people are still staying somewhere in the vacation rental market, and they're going to stay at the top properties, okay? Assuming price points are right and all these other things, but we're taking all that into account, right? So those bottom feeder properties are going to get destroyed more. Those people will be the biggest complainers. Those people are the ones you're going to hear on social media screaming about Airbnb industry is over, you know, the short-term rental industry. Oh, it was just a fad. It was just a trend. This is done. And we know why they're being hurt, okay? We know why, because they weren't unique. They didn't listen. They didn't invest in their properties. They didn't think about when they bought. They didn't think about creating a moat to separate themselves. And they got hurt. The second element of this too is a lot of those people who are going to get hurt and complain didn't buy correctly, okay? They bought at the top of the market. They didn't negotiate anything into the deal to have less cash into the deal. They went all in and they dumped in a ton of money into it. And they didn't think about, you know, having a property that could either appreciate or, you know, have an exit strategy beyond just like, I got to sell it, you know, hopefully not at a loss. And those people, okay, who are bottom feeders, who didn't invest in their properties, bought at the top of the market, just assumed that they could get the rents from the trailing 12 months. They're going to be impacted the most. And that's who you're going to hear from on social media talking about the end of Airbnb and the tariffs have impacted my SDR and I'm super scared and I'm not making any money or getting any bookings because they're not doing the work. They're not doing the revenue management, number one. They're definitely not doing the revenue management. Number two, they're not investing in their properties. Okay. And then number three, they probably bought wrong. Just it's as simple as that, because you're going to hear people in big popular markets complain the most. You know, I don't want to pick on Scottsdale, but like Broken Bow, you're going to hear people there, Orlando, you know, like some of the Smokies, it's getting bad there. The I can't believe the number of properties for that's over like 2,000 properties on the MLS right now. A year ago, I was looking at it was like 1,400. I mean, it's crazy how many properties are for sale in the Smokies. These big, big markets, Branson, Missouri, Lake Tahoe, you know, San Diego, some of these big, big markets, they're going to be impacted significantly more than these other drive, you know, I'm not saying they're not drive-in destinations, but more of these, you know, destinations outside of cities, maybe near state parks, national parks, and just drive-in, you know, drivable from major cities. So in my opinion, there's still a good time to buy. It's still a good opportunity if you buy smart. Let's kind of wrap this up on this last note on taxes, because I really haven't talked about it. So there's a couple things going on. Benefits. Taxes. We know that part of what Donald Trump wants to do is with the tariffs is also cut taxes as well. I'm honestly not opposed to that. But we got to take care of this debt thing too. So if we cut taxes too much, then it kind of cancels it all out. But he's trying to use tariffs to supplement for the tax cuts that are going to come out in probably in May, June, and we're going to find out what those are. I believe bonus depreciation is going to come back. Okay, what does that mean? That means there's going to be an influx of buyers, especially at the end of the year, for short-term rentals coming in to save on their taxes, all right? However, one consequence of all this, and what we're seeing right now due to the tariffs and all the other things, are interest rates for houses are going down. Okay. And I mean, like, I literally saw an interest rate for a loan, a 10% down loan. It was a non-jumbo, meaning over the conforming limit, which I think is like, oh my gosh, I'm going to say this, but it's wrong. Like 800,000, 805. It's like a weird number, but like, anyway, so properties are worth the loan amount is over 800,000. They have a different, it's considered a non-jumbo loan. And then the other ones less than that are called jumbo. Sometimes banks lend differently on those. They give different interest rates. The more money they lend, they actually give a better interest rate on. And so I saw non-jumbo loans, 5.85% interest rate. That's crazy good. Okay. Interest rates are dropping. Okay. And, you know, I'm seeing DSCR loans in the low sevens now. That's awesome. Commercial loans in the low sevens. So we're kind of in a good buying environment. But the problem is, once bonus depreciation is announced again, especially as we get closer to the end of the year, we're going to see more buyers in the market. So if you're looking to buy this year, okay, we talked about how to, you know, like how's it going to impact the SCR market, but the buying market too for short-term rentals, it's also impacting in a positive way. But I believe there's a sweet zone, and it's right now until about September. Okay. And the reason why is because once the taxes get announced for bonus depreciation and those interest rates are going to continue to, I think they'll stabilize. I don't think they're going to drop back down to the threes. That's not going to happen. Okay. But if they continue to drop, housing prices will go up, right? We don't want that to happen. I'm telling you right now, we're getting some of the best seller credits. We're negotiating the best prices and we're getting really good interest rates. We're like kind of catching the wave before it hits everyone and they're realizing that it's a good time to buy. So if you're looking to purchase a short-term rental and to get into the game, if I haven't already scared you off from all the other stuff I talked about earlier, now is actually a really good time given the current economic conditions. And the reason why this is really, really important, and you're going to be like, well, duh, Kenny, but you don't do this. I promise you, you don't do this. When everybody zigs, you zag, right? You've heard that before. But very few people do that. When there's a lot of clout, I talked about this earlier. When the stock market goes down, you don't panic, you buy, right? You go, yes, I'm going to buy. I'm going to put money into the stock market because things are on sale now. And that's the same thing going on with real estate. We're seeing that prices are kind of going down. Okay. We're getting a lot. We're able to negotiate a lot. Now, there's still a lot of crazy sellers out there and we're still dealing with them. But the interest rates are falling too. All right. So we haven't caught that reaction yet where prices go back up and there's, you know, even less inventory and there's more buyers in the pool because we're early. When everybody zigs, you zag. But do you have the guts to actually zag? Those who zag make money. Okay. Those who zig with everybody chase money. Are you going to zag? I just dumped in a lot of money into the stock market. A lot of money into the stock market. I don't usually buy stocks. I'm not like a big, oh, whatever. And I put them in ETFs and I like to diversify. I'm like a big diversification guy. But I just put a ton of money in the stock market. I was like, holy crap. Like I have some stocks I really, really like. And I just, you know, I watch and I'm like, and when they hit a certain price, buy, like just buy it. Cause I know it's going to go up from there. I'm not worried about it. And boom, they all started hitting the price. And I was like, buy, 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 and just dumping money in because it will, I'm going to buy and hold. Are you expecting to just throw your money in and then try to get it out the next day? No, you're not. And you're not even going to do it the next year. You're going to do it many, many years, most likely. 10 years at the least, right? Hopefully. Some of you are close to retirement. But I mean, really, like 10 years, this money you're putting in today, 10 years or more. that's the case, it's going to see new all-time highs probably by next year. I cannot, like, stop panicking. Okay. The stock market is not an is not a correlated 100% indicator of how well the economy is. Okay. So stop panicking about the stock market and focus on zagging with everybody else who's zigging. Okay. Because the reality is, I believe now's a great time to buy real estate, buy stocks, get in the game, and be smart about it, be tactful about it, be strategic about it. It's been really challenging to find really, really good properties that are unique, that have a moat, and all these things I'm talking about. Now, are we finding them? Yes. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of homes for sale. So the probability of actually finding a property that does those things is very, very high, right? Because of the inventory. But for people who don't know markets, who don't know where to look, and they start choosing a couple places, it's difficult because of all the other factors that have been going on. But today, with a lot of uncertainty, if you're strategic, if you do your research, if you rely on the data, I'm telling you, it's an opportune time to take advantage of things and where we're at with people freaking out about crap. And I've explained why and who is freaking out and why they're freaking out. And what you can see through it. It's so easy. The people that panic, I know why they panic. It's like, you just like, and it's crazy because sometimes I know their situation. I know what their properties are. And I'm just like, you know, I'm like, I know why you're freaking out, you know? And so I believe if you settle down, you take a deep breath, you pull up your pants, you know, tighten your suspenders or your belt, and you go, hey, like I'm, or, you know, I don't know, for the ladies, I don't know what they can tighten up. I don't even know who wears suspenders anymore. So just an analogy there. I'm not just, you know, speaking to the guys. But look, for everyone, if you tighten up and you take a deep breath and you just say, where's the opportunity? And you really do some research, you're going to find stuff right now. I think it's a great time to really take advantage of some key buying points. A great time to step your game up in the short-term rental market. You don't even have to buy. You can simply elevate through adding certain amenities and standing out. I'm gonna do another episode on like that side of it too with the amenities. I know I did one earlier, but I think it was really good. If you haven't listened to that episode where I talk about the amenities, please go back and listen to that episode. I think that was probably like when I did that one, I was like, dang, Kenny, that was good information. Like I was like, I had like this aha moment before I did the episode, like way before. And I was like, this is really good. And then I actually did it. And I was like, you know what? Like that was super helpful. So if you haven't listened to that episode on amenities, the part one, go back and listen to it. It's powerful. But I have a part two to it that I want to do, like a follow-up to dive deeper and talk about elevating amenities beyond just throwing amenities into a property. How do you be tactful, strategic about certain amenities? So stay tuned for that one. But have faith, have hope. Like, we're going to get through this. It's not the end of the world. I personally don't think it's going to be that big of an impact on most of you listening to this. I really, really don't. I think you're all going to be okay. Okay. Because a lot of you are in drive-in destination markets, and that's awesome. And you're going to be protected. So be of good cheer. Let's do this thing. And if you're looking to buy, now is a really good time to buy. And obviously, be excited about the tax cuts coming. I think they're going to be beneficial for all of us. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you're not offended. And I look forward to seeing you on the next one. If you are, please reach out to me. Let's have a civil conversation about it. I'm open. I'm open to hearing, you know, rebuttals or thoughts or just even further questions about, hey, you said this and what do you think other consequences of that are? So feel free to reach out. I hope you enjoyed this episode and I will see you next week after I've moved. I'll be in a new location. I'll be recording from a new place. You guys can actually check it out on YouTube with a Cashflow Positive channel. I'll see you on the next episode.